it's like he makes a new recipe for the gym and then he's like, you know what would go well with this?
So you see these peanut butter balls? They're unbelievable. Do you know what would take it to the next level?
Yeah, exactly.
A wee bit of chorizo right in the middle of it.
Granola and chorizo. I'm waiting on that. That's going to be the next one, Kurt.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm just going to go around and get everyone's name because I want the listeners. This is exciting. It's to have four mics on the podcast is big. I had to bring one from home. This is a big day for us. So just to get familiar with who's who, I'm going to go around each of you. Just say your name and let's say, what's your favorite thing to do in the gym? So I'm going to call you Granda John because you're the sage here. That'll you're the Granda.
Do you know that's going to be me tortured now from now on? That's me gone. What's my favorite thing to do to torture these two guys here? That's what I get up in the morning to do.
If you could do one type of workout for the rest of your life, what would you do?
Oh, curls. I'm in the arms, big in arms. Yeah.
Nice.
As you can see.
Come on, Granda John. Popeye over there. Epic. Curtis, what about you?
My favorite thing probably would be boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been boxing from when I was about 12. That's where I kind of started before these two guys were training in the gym. Stopped boxing for a bit and then went to train with them. But now I'm still on and off a bit doing it.
Cool. Mm. And where do you fall in this intergenerational?
I'm the grandson.
You're the grandson. Yeah.
So okay, cool. Johnny's my uncle. My mum's Johnny's sister, and I'm a granda.
Sweet. So Granda John, your son is Johnny.
That's making me sound awful. Doesn't it?
You should lean into it, though. It's a good advertisement for your gym because of how strong you are.
Oh, right, right, okay.
Well, he does an over 50s class on it.
No, I do not.
We rang him one night and was like, "Dad, there's nobody here for the class. We've decided we're going to do an over 50s one on. You may get your shorts on and die to the gym." I've never heard somebody curse as much in my entire life.
Mate, it would do numbers.
Well, I do train people in the gym, you know. I do. Not on an official base, but some of the customers, some of our clients will come and train with me at nights and take some days to recover, of course, but they still do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
You ever see Rocky?
I love where this is going.
You know where he's like, he's in his restaurant and he's walking around and he's talking to everybody. He's like, then I knocked him out in the sixth round. That's literally my dad. Walks around, grabs people, tells them about what he used to do in his day and how he should do it, you should do it different and how it's, he's got it perfect. Yeah.
Love it. So you're the son.
Yes.
Johnny's son.
John's son, yeah.
What do you like to do in the gym?
In terms of when I'm working in the gym, I just like to talk.
So, he's the worst job.
So I am the guy that stops you from training because I'm the guy that you're going to be stuck with asking you a million questions about your life, what you do, what you did at the weekend, what you're doing this weekend.
Mostly if you support Liverpool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I don't really talk about Liverpool at the minute.
That's awesome. So big boxing connection.
So basically, we didn't really know this at the start. So Granda is construction by trade as well. So Granda, as well as the gym, does construction. Before we opened the gym, me and Johnny always had this idea. The three of us trained together in various gyms across the... everywhere, to be honest. But me and Johnny always had the idea of how cool would it be to open the gym. I don't know how many times we said it to each other, how cool would it be to have this as art. It came, you know, it kind of manifested itself. But what we didn't realise, we were doing a bit of work for the owners of the building that we're in at the minute for the gym. And when we got there, we realised there was a lot of old boxing memorabilia. There was like round cards with flecks of blood on it. There was a big boxing ring. There was everything. And then what we came to realise was it was the old Eastwood's gym. So basically, it was one of the biggest gyms in the world for people to go and train, that came out with maybe 11 or 15 world champions, and they came from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Panama, Barry McGuigan, that's where he was trained. So, unbelievable.
All them.
But the cool thing about it is, it's the atmosphere's still there. They still live there. You know, when you're training, you can feel the presence of what was there, and that was in the 80s. The cool thing Johnny found was a bunch of videos on YouTube, black and white, of it in the gym.
Seriously?
So we got this big projector put up in the gym on one of the walls, and we just play all the old videos. And
we play the old videos from the old gym in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. 80s, 90s. No, closed in the 90s. But we all that memorabilia that we find is all up across the gym. So
that
it,
is so cool.
It keeps that wall. And we're quite friendly with...
Well, the Eastwood family very kindly donated. Unfortunately, Mr. Eastwood died there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Stephen, good friend of mine, one of his son, he donated a lot of his father's collection from way back in the McGuigan time and other world champions. And we have them hanging all around the gym. Some old boxing gloves.
Yeah. So I think McGuigan's
boxing gloves are there, so in the gym. So that, like Curtis said, a lot of our clients would come in and say there's a lovely atmosphere, there's just a feeling about the place, and it's the energy that's been generated from years of it being a gym, very, very successful gym, and hopefully we continue with that mode, you know?
Incredible. So situate the gym for us, like in the city. Whereabouts is it? Because it's a wee part of the city. I think a lot of people have never really been.
Yeah, it's...
Premark would be the best landmark, Jonathan. So
the entrance that Premark is currently using, we are probably about a 30-second, a stone throw from it.
Yeah,
we're right on the corner. We're above the Labricks, which locates Castle Street and Chapel Lane, and we're right above it.
Right on the corner, you can't miss us, like we're corner building.
We got this massive, massive sign. And it came like... the month before COVID started, so our signs just sat there with an empty gym for like...
Yeah, people just had to kind of discover us.
I mean, a weird part of the city, hard time to have a gym business as well. You've got the Premark fire, which footfall, you know, doesn't really affect your business, I suppose. But then COVID comes along, like that's brutal.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, we were only open a year and a month.
Yeah.
Invested a fortune because the gym, we totally renovated the two floors. It was the existing... old Eastwood head office. They ran their massive bookies organization from there, and the old gym. But we knocked it all of it into one, two floors, and spent an absolute fortune renovating in terms of.
We got the best of kit, everything. You know.
Everything's new, and it relatively still is new because of the 4 years that we've now been open, where we're closed almost two years.
Yeah, first year was very, very successful for us. You know, everybody took this without the science, as Johnny says. You know, people find us.
The signs are epic, in fairness. Yeah. They're massive. They're loud.
No, they definitely worked. And now it's just building back. Unfortunate thing now is not as many people in the town as there was before.
Sure.
Office workers, students. But this year, this September, we've started seeing a lot coming back, which is great.
Yeah.
Get the gym where it should be.
Why did you guys start the gym in the first place? What were some of those discussions amongst you?
I've been training from I was 19. I trained in one of the oldest gyms in Belfast, and it only closed 2 or 3 years ago, the Centaur in Corn Market, which a lot of guys out there, if they're listening, my age, will remember, we still meet these guys. We'll bump into a lot of guys and say, John, what about the old days in the Centaur? So I've always trained then from I was about 19 years of age. And when they could lift a weight, I started them lifting weight. So it's been with them, and fair play to them. It was them that pushed me because Johnny worked for me in the construction and Curtis was at university. But they kept pushing and pushing. And the opportunity arose whenever we were brought by Stephen Eastwood, asked me, would I go and work on this building, which is now Sloan's Gym.
Yeah.
And it was through these guys pushing me. I went and spoke to Stephen. Sure, John, take it. It's yours. Go for it. And that's basically where Sloan's Gym was born from. And it's these two guys have the credit for it.
What got you into training at 19?
I enjoyed it. I just liked it. I mean, times have changed. I had maybe 10, 15, 20 mates. And I was the only guy that went to the gym.
Seriously?
Yeah. It didn't happen. Like, I mean, there was maybe one gym and two gyms in Belfast, Centaur and Buster McShane's. Now, out of 20 guys, 19 of them will go to the gym, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's the way to go.
So what did it do for you? Like, you clearly fell in love with it. What was it that hooked you in?
I like the adrenaline. I like Tommy Armscott. I like beating people when I was in the gym.
And like,
I still have that competitive edge.
When you got into it, would you have been more of like powerlifting? Would you have been more bodylifting?
Weightlifting, heavy weights.
Yeah, heavy, yeah.
They got a bad injury then, I suppose, in my 30s. Put me off it a bit, and I started then doing various other things, cycling and running. But ended up back at the gym.
You became a well-rounded athlete.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Don't know about that. I had four kids and a couple of businesses to run, so that always took first place and the gym second. So
yeah,
now it's different.
Yeah.
I'm able to spend a lot more time where I love, which is in the gym.
Yeah.
With my boys.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's a real family business, mm-hmm. and that's something that I really like about what you guys mm-hmm. offer. Because, you know, as a gym goer, or as a member, sorry, I should say, you kind of get to be a part of that family, don't you?
Oh, big time. Oh, seriously, big time, yeah, yeah.
Like, we'll know everybody's name. When they come in, you'll be like, how's it going, John? What's the crack? You know, oh, I heard that you were going to Liverpool on a stag last weekend. What was it like? You know, there's very much... It is a family sort of feel that runs through it. And the good thing about it is because it's brought to you when you come in through the door, through us, it carries on through the rest of the members. And the members become a lot more friendly, a lot more, you know, everybody then creates their own relationships in the gym. The gym, for me, I was never really good at, like, team sports. You know, I wasn't football star, I wasn't Gaelic, I wasn't anything like that there. So I never really had that. You know where the boys go for pints after Friday or a Saturday whenever they play a match? I never really had that. But whenever I started going to the gym, and the gym that we all sort of really, really enjoyed, it's actually closed down. That's where I started to feel that sort of like part of a team, part of a community sort of thing. And whenever we were doing it with Kurt, I was saying, like, this is what we're going to push into our gym in that. Everybody is going to get on. Everybody is going to feel that there's a part of them is in the gym as well. So we encourage the members to get involved with everything. You know, anything, any sort of events that we get involved in, we always ask the members to come and you know, help out or get involved themselves. We've done what was that thing that we done in the town that we were pushing the big Mellon floats.
Festival.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The girl that organises that, she trains in the gym, and basically she said, "Just how would you feel if I got t-shirts done for you, your logo, and said Mellon Festival powered by Sloan's Gym?" Sounded unbelievable. We're walking through, pushing these floats, and it says through the city centre. Yeah. We're the ones that make it happen.
So we reached out to a lot of the members and said, "Here, how would you like to do it?" And geez, it was almost like a queue for people wanting to do it. Same thing happened our first Christmas, the first year we had opened. We decided, you know what we'll do? We threw a couple of bring-your-own parties in the gym. We'll put on a Christmas dinner for everybody.
Unbelievable.
In the cafe itself, we can hold about 30 people. So we said, we didn't know how it would go, because all the other ones was bring-your-own. We said, right, we're going to put on a wee ticketed event. We'll put on a four-course dinner, which we all made ourselves.
It's a lot of turkey.
Yeah.
Especially for protein-hungry folks, it's a lot of turkey.
That's what it was like. And do you know what, Matt? It was... 3 nights were sold out. We've done 90 people back to back, which was crim for us because we had to drink every night. But no, it was great. The support and the connection we have, everybody is great. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. The support that we were talking about COVID before, the support that we had from our members through COVID was unbelievable. You know, they all were, you know, they continued to support the gym even when we were closed. And like, we're so thankful for all of it. But I think it's sort of a testament to what we are doing around there. You know, everybody is involved. It is their gym. It's not our gym. It's their gym. We're just there to open the doors and, you know. So it's amazing.
Like, but one thing as well is that, you know, we've no problem training with the people and giving the experience that we've had through gym. So many people, we were talking about before we started, mental health, and are struggling and are nervous. And you see them coming into our gym and they're very nervous themselves, even though they know that, you know, it's a family gym, maybe it's a bit different. That nervousness, that self-conscious, we try to take that away. And, you know, on their first session, we'll go around with them and show them everything. And then from that, we'll build a relationship with them and hope that all the other members that have been there for a while that know what we're like and are kind of in our way of thinking, look after them. You know, someone that has no experience or all the experience or still be nervous going in and out of the gym. So what we really try to do is encourage everybody to help. And so we've no problem spending our training session with anybody that comes into the gym.
Well, we enjoy joke it. About that, about him out and you know, telling all the old stories, but like what he does itself is, you know, it takes away that whole nervousness. You know, he you know, you're mates with John.
And a lot, you know, a lot of people would go into gyms, and I mean, I myself would have been guilty of walking around a gym for the first 2 years doing things wrong, and nobody came over to me and said, look, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. We do that in our gym. Mm. From the minute you're in the gym, you're given some form of help. And on your posture, where you sit, how to use the machines. It doesn't happen in other gyms. You know, it doesn't, because most of them don't have anybody there that really are there to do that for you. So it's what we try to do. From the minute you walk in the door, we'll help you if you want help. And if we spot you doing something wrong,
we'll laugh at you. You know, many gyms.
Correct, yeah. So as a result of that, we've had guys come in and end up bringing their girlfriends who didn't want to go to gyms for the simple reason that they felt a bit self-conscious. That's taken away in Sloan's gym, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, particularly with something like weightlifting, there's a lot of ways to do it wrong. You know, like I'm working on my squat at the minute, and I even videoed myself yesterday, and I was like, that's terrible. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's okay now, the weight that I'm operating with, but it's like, you know, you start cranking through the numbers there, it's like I could set myself up for failure, and you need that, you know? And so you're offering, like, that's a real value add for a member.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, well,
we also have some PTs that work for us, and they offer one-on-one with clients. Curtis does classes free with the membership, and he'll explain to you a wee bit about them, I think.
Yes. Yeah, well, we'll take a boxing class. I just kind of, as was touched on before, I've been doing boxing for a while, but what I've done is I've put together the routine that we would normally do on our day-to-day boxing. I can reduced it down to about an hour session, and we'll go through and we'll do a bit of a warm-up. We'll go in the box and I'll partner people up. People that, and I always partner up people that are a wee bit shy with someone that's been there before, so bring them out a bit, and then you have a laugh, and then we finish with a bit of an ab workout. But it's seriously, like, every week it's just fully booked. They just love it, and it's hard to get into it now because of what it is. So we're hoping when we get this to the roof, when we touch on that, that we're going to bring a lot more up there, and we can do a bit of more outdoor
Would you take and during your boxers, you've taken people runs around the town?
Oh yeah, I take them out and runs. It's always different. I just say them right here, we're away here, and we'll run to the Big Fish, we'll run to the Odyssey, wherever, and then they hate it during the time. See, when they're back, oh my god, they just see the change in their face. They love it because you're pushing the things that they didn't know they could do.
Yeah,
they wouldn't think, oh, I'll go for a run today, I'll do this. It's just, you push them by their boundaries, and that's the kind of training we've always went by. Is you don't go in half-assed. You go in and you push yourself, and it's not, we'll do a couple of reps here, we'll do a couple of sets there. It's, how hard can I push myself? Some people don't go with that style of training, but for us, it's always the way we've been.
Yeah, and I think mostly, if they're truthful with themselves, it's what they really like.
The sweat.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
100%. The harder you go, the better you feel.
100%.
But that's what the problem is with a lot of these, you know, the bigger commercial gyms, is that you're going in there, you're getting your number. Way you go, do your own thing. And you can't push yourself because you have no one on your back. You know, we're given that service because everybody knows us. And if we're walking past, they're like, right, I need to be training a bit harder. or John's on top of me.
You know, I'm not going to cheat my rep here because John's watching. I'm not breaking parallel. They're going to call me on it.
So when you're coming to train. And, you know, if you do the classes, you're coming to be pushed. So it's enjoyable. Like,
but I really like what you guys are doing. And I think it probably takes or took something like COVID to really show how important
big time
you guys are. And what I mean by that is, like, there's been a lot of talk about frontline workers over the last few years, and I look at you guys and I look at your gym, and genuinely I feel like you are on the front line of our society. Now let me break that down, because that's a big thing to say. You know, there's very few places in the world now where people are coming together. There's very few places where people have a sense of community. People are exercising less than ever before, and mental health problems are at an all-time high. Like, you want to talk about a pandemic, you don't need to look any further than what's happening with specifically young men in our country.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have selling out Christmas dinners is unbelievable.
Well, another thing we did,
half of the people went to Johnny's wedding.
We're members.
Seriously? I don't have any friends.
I love that.
But another thing we did during the pandemic was, you know, a lot of people, you couldn't train. It was all this having to buy your own equipment, and you couldn't get it, and it was overpriced.
So, £400 for a kettlebell.
Exactly. Absolutely mental. So
if I could go back in time, that's where I put all my money.
Well, we loaned our gym out.
We just give it out to people that, you know, needed it the most. People got in touch with us, and we just give it out to equipment to look after them, because they were training 5 days a week, and then all of a sudden they were stuck in the house.
Absolutely.
And it was like, awful.
Yeah, and do you remember the days where it was like, you're allowed to go out for one walk per day? Yeah. What the heck? Yeah.
Well, you hit on the mental health thing, and I mean, I'm the older one, as we've also said here, but I've never heard so much talk, Matt, in the gym about how good it is, the gym for people and their mental health, and how much they missed it when we were closed.
Yeah.
It's a seriously big issue, much more than when I was a kid, for sure, or even younger. And the help that people get from being in a gym is phenomenal.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You like the feeling afterwards of completing a workout and giving you that sort of sense of accomplishment, because unfortunately some people aren't in the position that maybe they're not in work and, you know, there is no real accomplishment throughout their day. A workout is an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Getting yourself up, going down to the gym and lifting some weights or running or doing whatever and coming out of there and feeling like you've done something is so worthwhile. Like, it's ridiculous. We didn't even realize how many of the members would be sort of talking about that mental health was the main reason behind their membership.
That's a great thing too. Johnny. Oh yeah, 100%. We're actually talking about it is a big help. They tell me,
yeah,
you know, thanks for listening, John. I mean, it was great. And you know that they've had a bit of a release from actually having a chat with you.
Yeah.
We'll not go into names, but we'll say his first name, Bill, yesterday.
Yeah.
Big guy who's was having serious problems. I mean, I spoke with him. And he says that the gym has saved his life.
Yeah. I believe it, yeah.
No, genuinely. There's so many people like that. And, yeah, like, we're not just saying it in fact of, like, Sloan's gym, because maybe there's people here that can't go to Sloan's gym.
Someone's listening in Dubai.
Yeah. Just go to a gym.
Yeah.
Like, go and spend half an hour in a gym. And if you do 10 minutes even the first day and 20 minutes the next week, you know, just go and see that, get that release, get that feeling into your body and, like, it'll make such a big difference.
Genuinely. And I want to stay on this point just for a couple more minutes before we move on. I was sharing with these guys before, while you were parking the car, like, I'm so bought into this, you know, yeah, like, I'm a suicide survivor. I've been on a long journey with mental health and addiction and all that sort of stuff. And if you were to turn to me and say, you're allowed to do one thing for your mental health, it would be exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's literally based on research.
Yes.
Like, I say this all the time and I'll never stop saying it. Like, if you look at the research, heavy exercise 3 times a week is more effective than the leading antidepressant on the market. Yeah. Like, we were designed to move,
yeah,
and we've been moving forever. And all of a sudden, in the space of, 50 years,
mm-hmm,
people just stop moving.
That's right.
And then they're like, why are we having all these problems? Yeah. And so
it's true, because I've often wondered, where did all this come from in the last 25 years? And it's a fact. We're not as active as we used to be.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And, sorry for interrupting.
And we're losing community, you know. Back in the day, like, everyone would go to church.
Yeah.
Even if they hated religion and didn't care about God at all.
Right.
You know, and if they didn't do that, they would go to the pub. Or often the same group would go to church in the morning, pub in the evening, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And slowly but surely, we're seeing all these kind of, like, focal points of the community being taken away. You talk about the town square, a place where people used to come together, loads of different opinions. You're losing that, no, and you get sucked into these own wee bubbles, and
yeah,
people come divided. Why I like what you guys are doing is because everyone, all shapes, sizes, age, yeah, stages, economic class, professions, you know, political ideology.
We definitely do have that.
It's all the same, or it's all different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because of the students are quite close to us, we have a lot of, you know, international students.
United Nations.
And there's, it's actually great for them because a lot of them arrive here and they come by themselves. So it then immediately puts them around people that may have been here the year before, you know. So there's then a community of them within the community of our gym, if
absolutely,
you know what I mean. So
yeah,
it definitely helps. Like,
because how else do you meet people when you move?
Exactly,
city?
Exactly. You don't. The only way you meet them is go to a bar and be blocked and not remember their names the next day,
yeah,
or, you know, have a conversation. Like, how many people now would go to a coffee shop and sit down, have a coffee, and then start talking to the guy next to them at the table? Very, very few.
I take the bus to work intentionally. I love taking the bus. No one will talk to you. No one will look at you.
Not at all.
You know, it's bonkers.
It's almost Belfast used to be this big town.
Yes.
And it's now becoming a city where nobody talks to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 17, I worked in London, and it was probably the loneliest place in the world.
100%.
Yet there was 9 million people lived in it. unfortunately, I think Belfast's getting a wee bit like that. It's getting bigger and less personal and a wee bit more impersonal.
It's,
you know,
headphones. So. I blame headphones.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of headphones. Yeah,
I remember before, whenever everybody used to walk about with the white wired iPod, Apple ones, and I remember thinking, well, everybody wears these all the time, and then now there's not even a wire anymore.
Yeah.
And it says, you're talking to someone and you don't even realise that they have those wee they have those wee things in their ear, and you're like, oh right, okay.
Why do you think that is? Like, I do agree with you, tax a big part of it. Why do you think, because, you know, whenever I worked for Deliveroo, one of the things that kept me in that job for so long, even though the pay was terrible and the conditions were, well, love the exercise, that was number one, but I loved, like, having the crack with people, you know, the chefs, the waiters, the wee old ladies at the bus stop.
I couldn't agree more.
But why do you think that's
I suppose I have an old-fashioned attitude, and it would be best asking these guys, because I'm a bit of a dinosaur with technology, and I don't get why people can spend 10 minutes on their phone and not bother communicating with somebody beside them. And so I suppose they'll have a better answer to that than I do. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
You're stuck, you know, working on a computer, working from home, on your phone all day. It's very easy to become so introverted because you're not surrounded by people. So when you go into these cities and everything else and people are around you, you get the buzz. Why do you want to talk to somebody? You haven't talked to somebody all day, so you've got to really push people out of their boundaries. And that's where these mental health problems come from that we're talking about. They're scared to come into the gym because they're scared to talk, you know. So
do you think it's like a muscle then? So people are losing their
muscle. That's a very good description.
It's hard for them. So you got to really pull them out of it. You know, that we always say the hardest part of coming to Sloan's is walking through the door. Yeah, once you're through that door, boom, done.
Job done.
That's it. Sorted. One of our members, Brogan, he's our number one fan. Like, he said,
"He'll be loving life that he."
Oh, if he got a mention, like Curtis
just got about like 1,000 extra listens, and he'll be replenished.
Just be Brogan's life.
Well, he came to me one day and told me probably one of the greatest things I've heard about our gym, and it was that, you know, there's three parts to his day. He goes home, he goes to work, and he goes to the gym. And that's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's the third part of their day.
Well, it's not even, it's now home and work.
Yeah, home and work. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. It's two places. So we got to make that the most enjoyable experience for them and bringing them out of not looking at four walls. And it's not just about going and training. It's going and talking to people. Yeah. And enjoy. Kids go to youth clubs. You know, you go to bars, as Johnny says, to talk to people. It's coming and being comfortable without having to be drunk, without having even to know the people. It's just come, do a class. Our cafe is probably one of the biggest things for it. We put a cafe in the reception where we sell, as I said, food, breakfast, protein balls,
chorizo.
It hangs from the ceiling. You know, like it's like one of those old spikes.
It's like one of those Italian delis. Yeah.
Curtis comes
introducing
out
Sloan's chorizo.
Chorizo necklace on.
Don't start him, he might want that.
He's like, mate, we could franchise that.
Well, what they do as well, what I encourage them all to do after the class is sit and have a cup of tea or coffee and talk. And they, you don't even need to encourage them because they do it. They want to just sit and have their dinner with these people that they've only just met or they've met over the few weeks of training. And you see them, they're sitting having these conversations and they're not even looking at their phone. They're not worried.
Yeah.
They're wanting to know what's going on in this person's life and what's going on that. So our help of getting to know the people is kind of...
We just break the ice. We break the ice for them. Exactly.
But I think too, I mean, one of the things I thought, what am I going to say when I come on this interview? And I think, you know, not everybody going to the gym is going to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger or wants to be. It's, for a lot of people, the gym is a social event where they can get to go and meet people. And that's basically what Curtis is saying. And that's really what we are.
Definitely.
I think the cafe is... Beyond everything that it is, obviously it's good for your business. It allows people to refuel and all that sort of stuff. It's a secret weapon. Getting people to break bread. Yeah. Is that your idea?
Not even.
You're like validation. Yeah.
It was meant to be a egg room.
And they fought with me and fought with me about this when we were initially doing it. Duh, this is not a restaurant.
Yeah.
This is a gym.
It looks like a restaurant. There's see the amount of times people come up the stairs to go into the gym, open the door and look around. They're like,
wrong place.
I thought there's a gym in here, and then it's only when you look to your left that there's all the gym is on the other side of it.
Incredible. So why were you so determined?
Well, I've owned bars and restaurants in my youth. Jonathan would have worked in his when he was 11 years of age, washing glasses in a bar I owned in Hollywood, and we sort of have that in us. in terms of working in the licensed trade.
Yeah, my sister owns a chip shop as well, Spaghetti Arms, over in Union Street. So she
would have worked for me, and all my kids worked in the bars and restaurants. So we've got that sort of catering blood in us, which I wanted to include in the restaurant, or in the gym, sorry, that we wanted our own wee restaurant that looked after our clients. And I have to say, it's been phenomenally successful, hasn't it, Kurt?
But it was also, going back to City Centre Gym, was the gym. It's the old Frames, if you remember Frames. There was a City Centre Gym, and that's where I really got into training. And it was all based around, when you walk through the door, there was a counter where the guy sat behind the counter, checked in, but he also made you protein shakes. And I think I had some of my best conversations in that gym, standing there drinking a protein shake.
Well, do you know what he is in that moment? He's your quasi-bartender.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shaking the cocktail up high.
No, that's what he was. And that's sort of, I think that as well was a big part to play, is it gives people an area where they can sit and chat. There's no reason, you don't need to run out of the gym. All right, people have things to do, but, you know, get changed, come out, have a protein drink, have a protein ball, ask somebody else what they're doing, what they're training, what they're doing at the weekend, you know, stuff like that there.
That's interesting. When you were talking, Kurt, about, you know, the cold community stuff, I was thinking, like, you know, back in the day, we all used to go and get our meat from the butcher, and you'd have the crack with the butcher, and then you would go to the baker, you'd have the crack with the baker. Yeah. And what you guys have done with the cafe is you have, like, increased the surface area for community moments to happen, you know? So, well, because people, like, you know, we have an amazing coffee shop next door here, Normal Bass, Napoleon, and people go there because it's the best coffee in Belfast, but the main reason they go is because the relationships they have with the people that work there.
Well, that's what we have in that gym in spades, absolutely. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
People come in, not the train, people come in just talk to Johnny.
I'm starting to this is all the information from my book. I'm just going to expose everybody in like 20 years time.
they would come in just to see us. You know, there's ones that maybe don't have that position in the train because they're working from home, but they live in, who knows, Dundonald. They live just, they can't reach us. So they'll come in on their days off while they're in the city centre, and they'll spend about an hour just sitting talking to us, and, you know, we've no problem with that. It's great.
Well, Johnny doesn't have a problem with it.
I look forward to it.
That's important, you know, I think that's the way life was a little bit more like that, you know, in decades gone by. So
the whole street, like that whole Castle Street, like, you know, it's got a really bad rep, but see, if you look at it from an outside point of view, it's the last street in Belfast that is owned by, you know, people from Belfast.
Mm.
You know, it's got your bakers, it's got your butchers, you know, it's got, I think it's got like a dressmaking place on
That's right, yeah.
It's got your family-owned baby shop. Then
Kelly
it's
Sellers.
Kelly Sellers is right. You know, these are all, you know, they're owned by people from Belfast in the city centre. And I don't really think there's anywhere else you can think of in Belfast now that isn't,
still exists,
that has that, that still has that. So we then just fall in line with those guys, you know.
So what's it like working as a family? Because it's not just the three of you.
It's
there's no work in the same
Everything's split.
Well, me and Johnny are all right. Yeah. See, when Grandma's introduced to any circle. Oh god.
Yeah.
Here. You stand up for yourself there.
No, you can't even.
He knows. Just sit there.
He knows.
I've been hijacked there, all right, haven't I?
What'd you do?
I've been hijacked there.
No, they weren't even hijacked. I reckon we could go and get a load of members and they would tell us exactly the same thing.
They're trying to oust you from this business here. I think the
members love the banter between us all. Yeah. These two, when they're together, picked on me, so I suppose I'm picked on the most.
Singly?
Your arms are big enough though, you can hold your own. 100%. No, but seriously, so like, it's a very strange dynamic, you know.
It's really good because it works in a generational term, in that, like, you know, so my dad would be a wee bit older, then I'm sort of mid-30s, and then Curtis is bringing that whole sort of 20s. So even the fact that you were talking about social media and stuff earlier on, my dad wouldn't have anything really to do with social media. I was almost on the cusp of no social media. You know, whenever I was running about as a kid, we didn't have mobile phones. You know, whenever you were going to meet your mate, you just said, I'll meet you in the park at 4 o'clock. And you went and met them at 4 o'clock. And then Curtis is very much all in tow with that sort of like whole Facebook and Instagram. So he very much picks up that slack that me and my dad mightn't have. My dad would be very sort of old school, and he has a lot of, like, you know, he brings a lot of his previous businesses to us, and we use it to our benefit. And then I'm just
in the middle talking,
the glue that keeps it all together.
He's the social.
You're
lubricant.
The glue that keeps us together, are you, Johnny?
Pushes apart most of the time. But that's just.
But you know what's interesting? So, you know, we're in a very tech heavy environment in here, being in Normal Baths, and there's a lot of chat in the tech world about ageism and diversity, not just along racial lines, but actually age-wise, and how so much of these high-flying, shiny companies, what they really lack is a bit of grey hair, because it's so, so important. So I think, I'm sure each of you, actually I'll get into that in a second, but from an age perspective, you guys bring so many different things to the table. Put age aside, what are kind of some of the traits or the superpowers or the skills that each of you bring to the business?
Curtis is definitely the tech end. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I'm the maintenance man. I fix everything in the gym.
Johnny's the communicator.
I pay
all the bills. it's reining these guys in from spending money. Literally, I spend all my time doing.
So what happens is I come up with all the great ideas.
Oh, wow.
I find out if they're affordable.
Yep, Johnny gives
and
me.
And then I have to do it.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Very good. So what, like, if we were to hand you, you know, 10 million and be like, all right, dreamer, go ahead, do your worst. What are you looking at? What do you want?
Probably, I don't know. To be honest, it'd probably be the biggest but best gym with the same atmosphere.
Yeah.
The same. Like, see, if we won the lottery, we've played this.
Just take Ladbrokes below us and
make. You just want more of it.
We want more.
It'd be very difficult for us to expand and create the same in another town in Northern Ireland. That's the difficulty. We're restricted to what we do. We couldn't replicate it.
No.
It's, you know, because if we had another gym in another town, he'd have to go to it, and we'd lose him from Sloan's gym in Belfast. So we're victims of our own success in the sense that we're closed in because of how we operate at the minute.
Yeah.
And I don't think we could replicate that anywhere else.
I mean, you just need to have more babies. That's the way to franchise, grow the family massively.
He's next.
Yeah, Kurt's next.
Curtis is next.
But, you know, you make a good point. Like, there's what you guys do, the atmosphere you create, the product that you sell, you know, no one on the island can compete with you.
We would be what we don't want to be.
Exactly.
We would be one of the
other ones. Very well said, John. That was well said there.
Here, he's a communicator. Don't forget his role.
Yes.
I had that written down.
on your palm.
Whips out like a big political speech, and he's like, whoa.
You thought I was parking the car? That's out there working on my speech.
But, man, it's not like, you know, as I say, you know, it's not about the money first. We love it. You know, from we've opened that place,
it has to be. Johnny. Yeah.
What?
Money.
The money.
I want to be able to buy a car. Stop driving around in my one.
But no, we haven't worked a day from we've opened that place. You know, it's great. Just going into work. You enjoy getting up to go into work. It's great.
When I worked in the building sites. And,
like, and he hated it.
I didn't hate it. Yes, but you did. I didn't wake up every
Character
day.
Character building.
I didn't wake up every day wanting to go to work. I sort of had that whole living for the weekend. I couldn't wait till Saturday was coming, and I was checking the calendar to see when Easter was and when this was. And now, like, even though I work 6 days a week, I wake up every day and can't wait to go to work. And, like, I don't think you can buy that. That isn't something you can buy. Like, you know, that's just happiness. So the money, if you give me £10 million, I would probably use it personally
and keep the gym.
And I love the fact that the gym is growing. And, you know, if somebody give a big cash injection, you would lose the fun of what we're actually doing. You know, we're growing this business from absolutely nothing to hopefully putting Sloan's Gym name on everybody's lips whenever you say, what gym do you go to? Mm. Like, and that's what it's all about. That's where the fun of it comes. There was no plan originally. There was, you know, we're not bodybuilders, we're not ex-PTs, we're nothing. We came with absolutely zero reputation, and we put our name on the building, our own name on it. So now it's all about, you know, making it as best as it can possibly be.
So your niche as such, it's not that this is a muscle gym, it's not that it's a boxing gym, it's not that it's a soul cycle, Peloton spin gym. No. This is a community gym, right?
And it's about, you know, beginners can come, intermediates can come, and advanced can come, and they can all train together. And there's none of this big, muscly guys in the corner that don't talk to the other guys who are afraid to, you know, that are up on the treadmill because they're afraid to use any of the machines. You know, everybody gets involved and everybody is at the same level when they're on the floor, you know. And I think once you find that, the more you mature in a gym, and if you're in a surrounding like ours, the more you want to help the other people. And it very much is, there may only be three PTs in our gym, but there's about 20 other people that are there that are willing to give you a hand. You know what I mean?
That's really, really interesting. So in AA, in the 12 steps, they would say the most important step and the reason why that whole program works is because you have to help another alcoholic.
Well, there you go.
And there's something like that cannot be replicated in terms of how powerful it is whenever you're helping somebody else out. And how important that is for your own well-being. So that's very interesting that you say that. I like that.
It's a great feeling as well. I love whenever I do inductions with people and they're like, you'll never catch me here on a Saturday. I do 3 days and then that's it. And then all of a sudden they're there every Saturday. And I'm like, I told you, it's a bug. You know, you get bit and then you just want to keep coming back. And there's
no better feeling than someone saying to you, flip, you're doing well. Or you're looking good. Well. Yeah.
That's definitely. The one good thing. Looking That's the well one thing done. That helps a lot of people on is if they actually get noticed that what they're doing is helping them.
But I don't think that's just down to, you know, muscles or losing fat or
to smile.
Yeah, it's their face. They look better. They, you know, and I think that the gym definitely pushes that out of you. You know, you probably start drinking more water. You know, you think more about the biscuit that you're eating at night. You're sort of like, oh, I was just at the gym. Maybe I'll just leave that biscuit out tonight. You know, it's the small things that comes with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I call it a domino decision. Mm-hmm. So that's the first wee domino you flick over. I'm going to go to the gym. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you start thinking about your sleep. Because you're like, well, I actually think I want to sleep a wee bit better so I can hit my session. No. Right. Next thing you know, you're cleaning up your diet. Next thing you know what I mean? Yeah. Just, it starts like kind of spiraling up.
It's incredible.
It's also about, you know, little tiny steps make a massive difference. And it's this, we see it quite a lot in that people come and they're like, I want to go to the gym. And then all of a sudden they're only eating chicken and rice and broccoli. And they're only drinking water. And, you know, you're like, you can't do that forever.
How long does it last for?
No, lasts a month.
You need to sort of calm down a wee bit and just don't, baby steps is how it happens and how it gets to bigger steps. The jump in there, both feet. So we would very much say to them, look, listen, don't be doing 5 nights a week. Try three. Get yourself into it. Enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, that's what they should be doing, enjoying it. And if they enjoy it, then it will be something. For me, it's my lifestyle. I've done it for almost 19. I've had moments whenever Johnny's a twin, when kids were born, when I maybe left the gym for 6 months or whatever. But I always went back to it. And that's what I said to the boys. You know, we will have members who come in. They'll be with us for 6 months, 9 months. Something will happen in their life, whatever it is, and they'll take themselves off for 6 months. But you can be guaranteed if they're coming back to train, they'll be coming back to Sloan's because of what we offer them when they're there in the first place. So when people leave us, it's not because they're leaving us because we're doing something wrong. It's because other things are more important in their life, and we understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What are you working on next?
Big thing we're coming towards now is Ireland's first rooftop gym. It's going to be unbelievable. To be honest, it was an idea we had from the very start. We have a flat roof on the gym. It's on our cardio level, but it's outside. And it was always a great idea. We were like, imagine using that. I wonder what that's like.
And another John idea.
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say.
Of course it was, Curtis.
I don't think so. I think it was a communal idea.
No, it was not, Curtis.
We all came up with the idea at exactly the same time. It was unilateral.
Yeah, we'll all take agreement for that one.
No, well done, John. Another banger.
Thank you.
But basically what we're planning to do, it's all going to be laid with grass. We've got a glass balustrade around the side of it. So it's going to look great on the street.
A glass what?
Balustrade.
What is that?
Very fancy
instead
word.
Instead of a handrail, it's glass panels.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, good.
So it's going to look great. The grass is going to look unbelievable. This will be similar. We have a room downstairs that has grass in the minute. It'll be quite similar
to artificial grass.
But it's all outdoor training, so it'll be all functional stuff like press-ups, pull-ups, classes, stuff like that. But
It's covered.
It's covered as well. So if it's raining, you're still going to be able to use it.
Convertible.
Yeah. It's going to be unbelievable. Convertible. That's it.
It is. Literally, there's a button you'll press.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's epic.
So that's about to happen. We've been through all the normal planning, building control. It's all through. We're just waiting on various bits and pieces arriving, and then we're full on. We'd love to say it's going to be ready by the end of the year, and we hope it will. If it isn't, it'll be very soon thereafter.
Yeah amazing. First in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's epic.
You know, you only see these things, and I know it's probably people say, you're in Ireland, it rains, but look at the summer we had last year. Absolutely. It's not raining today, and it's November. You know, it's bright outside. You very easily train outside. All these people that start, which I always say is a good place to start, is these boot camps that people do outdoor. It's very, very good place to get your confidence up because you're in that group setting.
Yeah.
But we're going to bring that to the gym. You know, if it's summertime, we find summer could be quite quiet for us because people either go on holiday or it's really warm and sunny. Why would I go to the gym? You know, I could go out for a run, I could go for a walk instead. So for us, now they're going to be able to come to the gym, sit, have their breakfast or lunch and work outside. You know, morning yoga, boxing classes.
So
it's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be phenomenal. And, you know, it's incredible because, you know, I always bring everything back to mental health perspective. You know, I work with a professor in the States and he's got like six pillars for strong, robust mental health. And you're hitting on loads of them, right? So you've got your exercise, you've got your community. His other big thing is getting outside, getting sunlight on you. And the fact you can add this extra layer on top of that, epic. So bought in.
Well, like,
got me goosebumps there.
Football, you know, the likes of the football training and whatever, it happens regardless of weather, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, if it's a wee bit cold, there's nothing better than seeing your breath whenever you're out.
Absolutely,
you know,
I love the sauna, I love cold water, I love all that sort of stuff. And I think, like, we're so afraid of the rain, you know, especially whenever it's like, you know, I'll hop in the sea or I'll hop in like a, you know, a tub with ice in it. And it's so much easier whenever you know you're jumping into a sauna afterwards. Yeah. Mate, I'll go and I'll work out in the rain in your gym because I know there's a hot shower waiting for me.
Exactly. As soon as I get out.
The hottest shower.
You don't have to because the roof is electrically operated. It'll cover when it's really bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Great.
But it's going to be unbelievable. And aesthetically, it's going to look unbelievable. Wait till you see it, like, I don't think we're going to put up any photos or anything yet, are we?
Not yet. Not until we see what it's like. We got a drone video done, which was Johnny's idea.
Yeah.
Johnny's idea.
Go on, Johnny.
The best drone video.
It was the best thing we've got done.
It is. It's like, there's nobody else has got one done. You have to go on.
If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. Type in Sloan's Gym. Boom.
One shot take that goes from our front door all the way up round the cafe, out into the main room, into the conditioning room, round up the stairs, up into our cardio suite, and finishes up there.
That's
one shot.
Want to see a good idea of what the community is like in Sloan's Gym? There must have been about 30 people in that one video that just came down to help us.
And
for
it was
that.
Like an early Sunday morning.
Sunday morning,
great.
And all the members come in as actors, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's great.
Everyone's putting on their PR. their heaviest squat. They're like, right, come on.
When I say one shot, it took about 10. So I think people learned that
they were busted.
Had to reduce the weight.
That's class.
It hopefully can be added to. We're going to hopefully add the roof when that's done to it, or its own video. And there will be a lot of social media presence about it, a big promotion for it. But once we know, here we go. Here it's starting. So once the first nail goes in.
See you around, Matt, yes?
Yeah. Mate, I'd love to.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you.
Yeah.
Love to see you.
I'm doing a bit of a powerlifting thing at the minute, I'd be interested.
Well, you need to come to me. Don't be coming to this.
We actually had a wee powerlifting competition.
Did you, yeah?
And then I stupidly left my book out, and everybody must have seen it because everybody pulled out. We were meant to do it till last Christmas. Was it last Christmas? It was just the PT, like the other day.
Mm, yeah.
We had a competition the other day. And
did you, yeah?
Who won, Kurt?
You got to pay respect.
You have to use your words.
Yeah. This is the podcast. You can't just nod. No,
this is radio.
Okay, Johnny won.
Yeah. There you go.
Save.
Use that fuel for the fireman next time.
I know.
It's that old man's drink.
This took you how many years? What age are you now? 38.
36.
So I'd love to kind of start the wrap up by, where do you think you see people go wrong in the gym whenever they start to join? And this is not to shame or anything.
Full throttle.
It's lack of
full throttle.
Yeah, well, full throttle and technique and trying to lift heavier than what they should. I mean, in any sort of training, it's not weight. And you get young guys going in there and they think to show off, the more plates they put on a bar, the better they're doing. It's not, and I keep saying to them, it's not weight, it's technique. Mm. And once you get the technique right, then you move your weights accordingly. And that's the secret to training, technique, purely technique.
It's great. What would you say to somebody listening who has maybe fallen away from the gym, maybe over COVID or maybe, you know, the last 6 months? What would you say to them?
Come back.
Yeah.
Come back. To better your life, experience. Come back. Absolutely. Absolutely. Come back to Sloan's.
Don't do this like, oh, it's Wednesday, I'll wait till Monday. See, the moment you think about it, go get your shorts and just go drive to the gym, our gym.
And there's no such thing as a bad workout.
Yeah,
no, exactly. Every workout's a good workout. Yeah. Every workout's a good workout.
Even if you're there for 30 minutes, 20 minutes, if you go up and you just fly through a load of supersets in 15, 20 minutes, you've done more than the guy that's sitting next to you in the office that hasn't done anything.
Don't let the fear beat you, you know. Don't let it.
What would you say holds people back?
Holds people back?
Probably being nervous, being open. Yeah, to, not nervous. Being open to that experience of coming in and or trying the gym or trying it and giving up because it didn't work out for you the first time.
Yeah.
You
or know? I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I couldn't. No way. There's no way I could do that. It's give it a go. You know, overcome the fear, as I said. Just give it a go. Don't make it a chore. Enjoy it. And
for me, I'll never let it ever affect me. In fact, it'll probably be the complete opposite. Too many people at 40 say, I'm getting on a bit. I couldn't be at that. I'm 65. I train 5 nights a week. Sometimes 6 days a week.
And I've never found it a problem. I think it's a mindset to people once they get to a certain age.
Oh, no. My eye bones won't let me or my joints. It's a nonsense. Never, ever stop.
What age are you? 60?
65.
65. I think people have the same mentality about retirement.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I'm never going to do that.
I had that impression. I'm glad I guessed that right.
No.
I think people really limit themselves.
Sorry?
I think people really limit themselves.
And I don't know why, because he's laughing.
It's not my mindset. You're probably not. You're probably better asking them about my attitude to retirement.
No, you'll never retire.
No chance.
Never, ever. Never. We have to just get them wee side projects. Get some busted up machinery in town and go fix that up. You get rid of them for about 2 months or something.
But it's kind of what you were saying earlier, Johnny, about like, you know, living to the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that on steroids, where people are like, they're living to their 60 or they're living to their 70, and then they can enjoy their life.
No.
And you're like, that's so backwards.
No.
It really is.
And I mean, my quality of life was phenomenal, being quite honest with you. I mean, I feel healthy in the mornings, feel healthy and strong. And it's because of what I do on a daily basis. And anybody can do it. Yeah. I mean, anybody can do it.
It doesn't have to be massive weights. And it doesn't have to be 2 hour sessions. You know, it's a small amount. The thing that you were saying before about what holds people back is that people don't want to look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that's the end of it. You know, people don't want to look stupid. And if it's, they don't want to look stupid for the way they look and they think that they look out of place in the gym, that's so incorrect. And if they don't want to look stupid by the way they're doing a certain exercise, that's also incorrect, because everybody in the gym had to learn somewhere.
Mm.
You know, there's videos out there, there's YouTube videos out there that, all right, they can give you an idea of what to do, and you can definitely see the people that have watched YouTube. But we're always there. You know, there's somebody always there that can give you that wee bit of guidance. And if everybody in the gym just could open up a wee bit and be like, here, can you come and help me with a squat? We're like, fine, yeah. Like, that's the best thing that you could do is ask the question.
Ask.
And there'll always be someone there. Like, me and Curtis are, the way we work, we're never not in the gym. There's always one of us in the gym. That's 7 days a week. My dad is there a lot. A lot.
A lot.
And
training.
You know, and then we've got all our PTs. Our PTs are unbelievable. Like, they're genuinely unbelievable. And they all take their own niche. And they can help with everything. And they aren't these PTs that are like, chat to me for 5 minutes. Okay, you owe me 25 quid.
Mm.
They are there to help. And they...
Well, that's because I've been brought through our psyche, Johnny. Yeah. It's what we want them to do.
Them as a person as well.
When we first opened, we put up applications. Well, I'd done the job applications to see who wanted to come. We had 65 applied. We took two of them.
Incredible.
Yeah. And we didn't even, you know, a lot of them, we just seen their CVs and went, you know, you're not right. Looked at their social media, and most of their social media is chugging weights about, and it just wasn't right for us. So the ones we've kept
are ones that have been with us for the 4 years. They haven't left us. You know, a big thing with personal training is
moving around.
Our ones have stayed with us for 4 years.
Yeah.
One of our PTs, she actually trains all the personal trainers to be PTs. She's like one of the top PTs in Northern Ireland, and she's unbelievable. She's called Vic Sharp. We have Anthony McKenzie, and we have Mark as well.
Mark Kavanagh.
And like, they're just great, and they all have their own niche. I said to Johnny and Grandin when we start, we don't want to have people in here that are doing the same thing, because then they're competing with each other.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. We don't want that.
No.
We don't want this. The gym industry has that whole kind of...
Mercenary,
yeah. They're all over each other. They're all fighting. They're all petty arguments. And we've seen it. We experienced it in the gyms we were in. Yeah. We want ones that if someone's struggling, they will be us. And they will go and they'll talk to someone. Yeah. They won't laugh and say, here, did you see your man out there doing that stupid action? They'll go and say to him, here, you're doing this wrong. Let's
take it back.
In the nicest way possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think as well, and talking about our staff, we definitely have to give credit to the two girls that we have working for us.
Aunt Mary
and Janine. That's my grandest sister, my auntie, Johnny's auntie, and her daughter, Janine, cousin. They are unbelievable. Yeah. And they have pushed us and got us as far as we've got. We wouldn't be where we are without any of them.
Mary worked for me in the restaurants like 30 years ago that we had, and continued to work for me, with me all that time. And she brings that sort of motherly...
Yeah. People call her Aunt Mary.
Aunt Mary.
In the gym, yeah. The members call her
my older sister.
I love that. Mm. That's like Claire here. Claire's a general manager. She spends a lot of time at the front door, usually one of the first people you see. And we all call her startup mum.
Mary's Aunt Mary to everybody. Yeah. So.
And then Janine, her daughter, like the protein balls and stuff like that there. You will always see her making protein balls. All she does, she drives her. You know, the recipes and stuff.
She does. No, but they're all great. And they're all just as active for the members as we are. And, you know, they'll go and they'll train together with the members themselves. And it's just a great place to be. You know, it's a great environment.
Curtis, where is the best place for people to find you guys?
Instagram and TikTok is the new thing. TikTok's mental. It's kind of, we're getting started there and we're hoping to do a lot more content. But Instagram is probably the best place. Facebook's good too, but Instagram's the best place to get us.
How are you finding TikTok so far?
It's
a different beast.
It's different. It really is, because with the photos, you just take a photo and it's done for Instagram. Yeah. You gotta know and really be coming up with storyboards and what you're going to put out and what you're trying to advertise. You know, a lot of the stuff that's going on this social media is how funny can I be, and that's with being successful. Whereas when we're trying to promote the business, it's not. So you gotta kind of be this different beast, as you say.
It's trying to show our personality without trying to be too funny or too...
It's tough, and I think it's especially tough if you're Northern Irish, because we've got a bit of a thing about
stuff like this is really good. You know, I think today we got a lot out of what we try to push. You know, we were all a bit nervous coming in today.
Well, you said it's the first time you've done anything radio.
We've done a news article where we talked into the guy's microphone or whatever it was, recorder, but we've never actually
I think it's easy to talk about it whenever it's just an open conversation, instead of being like, ask question.
TikTok's hard as well, though, because as you say, like, you're kind of having to make like a Hollywood movie in a 20-second time frame. Yeah. You know, it's a real science.
And then you put so much work into these videos, and they get like 9 views, and you do a stupid one. Like, I did one, I spent forever making all these videos, and they don't get views, and then you do one, and all I did was do a video of the sign, threw the phone up, and just said Sloan's Gym on a sign. And it got like 10,000 views. Like, what? It's hard. It can be a bit demeaning sometimes, but you just got to push through and hopefully you can get the message out.
Well, mate, you're the young one. You have to make this work. This is on your shoulders.
Well, he's pretty young too. Like, he's not that old.
He
grew up without social media. He's ancient.
When did social media start?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I was 11 when the first iPhone came out. So I'm 27. I was born in 95. So I was the first generation to go through high school with
an iPhone.
Yeah. With all that sort of stuff. Interesting. Guys, loved it. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Appreciate
having us, Matt. It's been great. Thank you.
Real pleasure.